Well, you know, this morning it's so easy to have a simple message on Thanksgiving. And as I was reflecting upon this passage, or at least this weekend, the passage that came to me was in Psalm 126, verse 1 to 6. So if you have your scriptures, if you have a Bible with you today, would you turn with me to this passage? Psalm 126, verse 1 to 6. I think as we look around our world today, we can definitely be in agreement that we have much to be thankful on this Thanksgiving Sunday. We have our family, we have our friends, our health and our homes, safety and provision. And yet we know there is so much that's going on in this world today, and we desire and seek, we recognize that this can't be all that it is, and that what we're really seeking is for a restoration of our world today. And so as I was thinking about this passage, I thought, wow, this is a neat passage for us to consider this Thanksgiving Sunday. And it's a thanksgiving for God's restoration. So this is the passage from the ESV. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. And then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. And then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joy, with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. I think as the body of Christ, I think we can affirm that every good thing we have is from the Lord, as acknowledged by these other verses. Here we have in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 13 to 14. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and you are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. We belong to God. And James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. You can see that this theme of gratitude and thanksgiving has permeated our scriptures from the Old Testament all the way through into the New Testament. Well, today we have in Psalm passage that captures this heart of thanksgiving. So the Psalm is part of the Song of Ascents. And it's a song prayer that is sung aloud, read aloud, as the people of Israel ascend the path towards Jerusalem, usually on at Passover or one of the major Jewish holidays or celebration. And so they would head towards Jerusalem, and as they are on their way to Jerusalem, they would then read out or sing out the Song of Ascents. Their thanksgiving is one of recounting God's faithfulness and the joy that comes from restoration. This psalm also ignites a vision for the future, a future filled with hope, laughter, and renewed faith. Not only for the people of Israel, but also for us today in our 21st century, where we recognize that our world, as perfect as it is, it still has global conflicts, homelessness, poverty, and drug overdose, which does not stop just because it is Thanksgiving Sunday. And so there are three main ideas that come out from this passage, and I'll quickly go through them for us today. In verses 1 to 3, it gives us this idea of the memory of restoration. In verse 1, this is what it says: when the Lord restored the fortunes at Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Here the psalmist begins by recalling a time of profound restoration. We're invited to imagine the joy of those who have returned from exile, their tears turned to laughter, their sorrow transformed into shouts of joy. This memory serves as a powerful reminder that our God is a God of restoration. You know, for the people of Israel, that when they were in captivity, the idea, the possibility even of being able to return to their homeland was just a dream. And that while they were in this bondage and captivity, it was the hope of this return that someday this would happen. And then they would then be able to then again go from tears to rejoicing. And then we have in verses 4 to 6, the promise of restoration. The psalmist calls out for a renewed spirit, asking God to restore the fortunes once again. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. And so this is a region in Israel where basically there are seasons of drought. And then when the streams, when the rains come, and then the river overflows, it's like a huge, powerful stream that comes along. And so this idea that the streams in those dry land speaks to the abundance and refreshing power of God's grace as He restores water to the land, which obviously leads to agriculture and taking care of the families after a season of drought. And lastly, in verse 6, a call to restoration. The psalm concludes with a powerful affirmation. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. This verse reminds us that our journey of faith is not without struggle. But we may go out weeping, but in our labor and our trust, we are assured of a joyful return. Now, obviously, with this passage was written to the people of Israel after they had returned. And the idea, of course, is just the restoration to the land, restoring to be able to come home to the land of their ancestors. But as we think about this in our 21st century context with the New Testament, there's a restoration that is before us as well, when God who will return and He will restore creation. Again, the psalmist reminds us, God is a God of restoration. So how does God restore us today? And so these are three ideas for us to consider as we think about our thanksgiving in God's restoration. Firstly, He restores our faith. 1 John 5 verse 4 says this: for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even in our faith. I invite us to think about the moments in our lives when perhaps we felt lost or broken and felt no hope. The Israelites experienced restoration after being in bondage and captivity. And we give thanks for how God takes our despair and turn it into delight. You know, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 3. And in that passage, it talks about how basically there was no way of restoration to God. Even with the Israelites and their belief and their faith in the scriptures, in having the law, that the law would be the one that would save them. But in the end, that would not be the case. That in fact, the law would actually end up being keeping them in bondage. into their sin. And so then it would be through the fulfillment of Jesus Christ in his birth, his death, and his resurrection that they would then be restored to faith, restored to God by faith. And so definitely we ought to recognize that I think there are times in our lives where definitely when we feel at our lowest, or we feel that God has abandoned us, or we feel that the world has gone just a little bit too much, that we look back on those times in our lives when indeed we have felt God's presence and his and when he restored us in our faith. And we also want to encourage one another to be able to support one another when we are at those times, when we feel that we have, if we feel that, you know, God is not with us, and when we hear others in our body that have also experience God's restoration, then it gives us encouragement that God would restore us as well. He restores us from weariness. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who place their hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not go weary. They will walk and not be faint. Today is October the 13th. Is anybody feeling tired already? I think we all are. It's like somehow August came and we were all on vacation and then September hit and it just went. And I don't know about you, but that's how I felt coming into September. And here we are on October 13th and I'm like, wow, it's tiring. You know, and we still have a few more months ahead yet before Christmas. It's nice to walk through Costco and see Christmas trees. Like, what? Seriously? People, we haven't even hit Halloween yet. Like, come on. People today feel like they were just so weary. We're tired. We're too busy all the time. We're connected all the time through our devices. And so then, what happens when we're on every single day of our lives and we're connected all the time? Well, eventually, we feel dry. We feel weary. And the promise of God here in this passage, in this verse, is that God promises to bring forth life and abundance even in the barren places when we're dry and we're weary. And all we need to do is be able to take that time to be able to calm ourselves, to be able to seek those times with God and invite him to fill us up once again when we feel weary. It's not about doing more, it's about being with God. And lastly, he restores creation. I love the fact that the women's group is going to be going to Erosha, and definitely they do emphasize a care and a nurture of our creation. Well, obviously, we don't just, we want to take care of creation, and it's not about the worship of creation. But God does indeed seek to restore creation. Romans chapter 8, 19 to 21. For creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own voice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. You know, when we look at Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and we get this picture of what it must have been like in the Garden of Eden, in its perfection, that before the fall, before the introduction of the fall of man and original sin, there was no decay, that everything was in full freedom and glory to be able to glorify God. And that's what essentially what creation is, which includes humanity, that we were created to glorify God. But when the fall of man happened and original sin was introduced is when decay and death and suffering was brought and entered into this world, that the freedom from which God had intended for creation and humanity had become in bondage to the reality of decay and death. But that is not the end of the story, as I said. That in the book of Revelations, and even before that, even in the Gospels, that Jesus paints a picture, and John gives us this picture, the Apostle John, that God is going to restore creation. Now, it doesn't mean that we go out and buy the biggest 4x4 with an F-350 V8 engine and basically, you know, drive and continue to pollute the world, okay? That's not what I'm saying. Neither am I encouraging you to go out and buy an electric vehicle either. I'm not saying that, just to be clear. But the fact of the matter is that we recognize in our world today, with all of the things that are going on in terms of our climate change, but not only that, but other parts of our society that is, where we were seeking for a free life, a liberated life, has instead brought people into bondage to other substances or to lifestyles that firstly are not honoring to God, nor are they honoring to the creation of the person that God had made them to be. And so we do know that God seeks to restore us, restore creation to its origin in Genesis chapter 1. But he doesn't just restore creation by himself, but he does this also with his people. And I think that's the takeaway for us today, that while we do look forward to the restoration of creation by God, that we here now, the people of God, in this time, in this place, and in this space, that we too have a call to be involved in God's restoration of creation, which includes humanity. And so, using the garden metaphor or harvesting metaphor, an agricultural metaphor, season of Thanksgiving is a time where we're able to harvest all the good food and good fruit and the labor that farmers go into planting and then seeding and then planting and harvesting. And so then we as the body of Christ, we then are able to go and sow seeds of hope and kindness and love in our communities as we participate in God's redemptive work. Let us not shy away from the hard work of sowing, even when it feels difficult, remembering that God is with us in the journey, and the fruit of our labor will bring joy not only to ourselves, but to those around us. We who are restored are able to then also be involved in helping others to be restored to God. And that truly, I think, is an amazing Thanksgiving gratitude sense of feeling would just be awesome. Psalm 126 invites us to reflect on our own experiences of joy, sorrow, and restoration. We remember those times when God has restored us. We lean on the promises of God to restore us, and that we are also have a call to be involved in God's restoration of creation, which includes humanity. As we remember the ways that God has been faithful, let us also look forward with hope. Our God is a God who restores, renews, and transforms. And so this afternoon, when we leave, as we go from this place, take this imagery with you of the seeds, of carrying the seeds of joy and hope, and then spreading those seeds, planting those seeds in our times with our friends and community as we enjoy our meals together. And in time, we will reap a harvest of blessing together. Amen.